The name of Shmuel said with regard to a woman who has just given birth, as long as her womb is still open, we'll see what that means, then we're Mechal Shabbos for her, whether she said she needs us to be Mechal Shabbos or whether she, even if she doesn't say that, but others tell us that we need to be Mechal Shabbos for her, we do that. Once the womb closes, then whether she says we need to be Mechal Shabbos for her or not, we're not Mechal Shabbos for her anymore. Rav Ashi also had this girsa of Shmuel. Marzutra had a different girsa. According to him, Rabbi Yehuda the name of Shmuel said, with regard to a woman who just given birth, as long as her womb is open, we're mechal Shabbos for her, whether she says she needs us to do so, or whether she says she doesn't need, but others say that we need to do so. Once the womb closes, if she says she needs us to be mechal Shabbos for her, we do so. If she says she doesn't need, then we don't. Rav Nirash Meremar, who do we pass? And like he said, we pass like Marzutra, because whenever we have a suffix pekuach nefesh, of course we go lekula. At what point is the womb considered to be open? So Abayi said it's from when the woman in labor is sitting on the birthing stool, or Huna, the son of Yeshua, said it's from when the woman begins to see dam in labor. Some say it's from when the woman in labor can no longer walk on her own. Until when is the womb considered open? So Abayi says for 3 days after childbirth. Rav, the name of Yehuda, says for 7 days. Some say up to 30 days. Then Adoyi would say within the first 3 days, whether she needs them to be Mechal Shabbos for her or not, we're Mechal Shabbos for her. From day 4 to 7, if she says she needs them to be Mechal Shabbos for her, we are. If she says that it's not needed, then we're not. From day 8 to 30, even if she says she needs to be Mechal Shabbos, we're not, but we're allowed to ask a goy to do what's needed. Your name Shmuel said, for a woman who has given birth 30 days, that was his quote. Regarding what halacha was that said? And Adoyi say it's in regard to being tovel and mikvah. A woman should not do so for 30 days after childbirth, because it can make her very cold and it can be dangerous for her. In general, can be very dangerous for her. Rava said that's only if her husband is not there with her. However, if her husband is there, she can be tovel, and then she can be warmed from the fact that she knows her husband's going to be there with her, and therefore she won't be put in any danger. In the name of Shmuel said, you're allowed to make a large fire on Shabbos for a woman who has given birth. The Talmidim understood this to mean it can be done for a woman who has given birth, but not for a different sick person. And it only can be done in the winter, but not in the summer. But Rav Chiya bar Oven, in the name of Shmuel said, we make a large fire on Shabbos to warm someone who has let blood, even during the summer. So it's even any other chayla, and it's even during the summer. Shmuel felt it was so important to be warmed after letting blood that at one time he had a chair of expensive wood chopped up to make a fire for him after he let blood. Yehuda had an expensive table, wood table chopped up for him to make a fire after he let blood. Rabbah had a bench chopped up for him to make a fire. Abayi said, you're being about tashkus. Rabbah said, but it's my health. My health is also about tashkus if I destroy my health. That's more important than the bench. Yehuda, the name of Rabbah, said a person should even sell the beams of his house if he has to be able to afford shoes. Still, if someone lets blood and doesn't have what to eat, so you see how important shoes are. But if someone lets blood and doesn't have what to eat, he should sell those shoes to buy food after the meal, after letting blood, because that's very, very important. What should be eaten at that meal? Rav says he should eat meat, which restores the blood that's lost, and Shmuel says he should drink wine. The red wine restores the red of the blood. After letting blood, Shmuel would eat a dish of cooked spleen, which is very red. Rabbi Yochanan would drink wine until the fragrance came out of his ears. Rav Nachman drank until the spleen floated, so to say, in the wine. Rav Yosef drank until the fragrance came out of the hole made by the bloodletting. Rav would drink wine of a vine that was 3 years old. Rav Nachman Yitzchak told us, Amidim, on the day that you let blood, tell you why is it I'll be coming to visit, so that they're going to prepare a big meal to think I'm coming, but this way you'll have a big meal to eat, because it's very important to eat a lot. Where it says it's so important to eat and drink wine after letting blood that you're even allowed to use like a shtickle trick to, if someone can't afford the wine or the food afterwards, you're allowed to use a trick to be able to get some food and wine after letting blood. Avlet saw Shmuel sleeping in the sun. He said to Shmuel, how can you think that such a bad thing like the sun is beneficial that you're willing to sleep there? Shmuel said he had let blood that day and therefore needed to stay warm. In truth, he hadn't let blood that day. It was just the one day of the year when the sun is actually beneficial, which is the summer solstice. But Shmuel didn't want to tell a guy about that. But Shmuel say someone's not careful about eating after bloodletting, he has his parnosa lessened for him from Shemayim, because in Shemayim they say, if he doesn't care about himself, why should we care? They also say after letting blood, you shouldn't sit in a windy place, because if too much blood was taken from you in the bloodletting process and the wind may take a little bit more, it could be very dangerous. Well, based on that, would only let blood in a building that was 7.5 bricks thick, the walls. At one time, he didn't feel well after letting blood. He saw that it was missing a half a brick. It was only 7 bricks thick instead of 7.5 bricks. Rabbi Shmuel also say, after letting blood, you should eat something before leaving the building. If he leaves before eating and sees a dead person, his face will turn green. If he meets a murderer, he will die. If he meets a pig, he'll be stricken with tzaras. They also say you should wait before standing after bloodletting. There are 5 things that bring a person closer to death, they say. If someone eats and stands immediately, drinks and stands immediately, sleeps and stands immediately, lets blood and stands immediately, or has tashmish and stands immediately. Shmuel said you should let blood every 30 days. After reaching 40 years old, it should be done every 2 months. After reaching 60 years old, it should be done every 3 months. They'll say you should not let blood on Monday and Thursday, because that's when Bezin Shalmata convenes, that's when Bezin Shalmala convenes, and that's when it's the day of being judged. Blood should also not be let on Tuesday because of the mazel that's predominant on that day. Also, the mazel, even though that mazel exists on Friday also, but since people let blood on Friday, we can say Shem B'Sayim Hashem. It's also dangerous to let blood on a Wednesday that's the 4th, 14th, or 24th of the month, or if there's less than 4 days left of the month after it. Letting blood on the 1st or the 2nd of the month causes weakness. If done on the 3rd day of the month, is dangerous. If done on Erev Yomtev, it causes weakness. On Erev Shuas, it's mamish very dangerous. Rabbanim Rogoyze, therefore, you shouldn't let blood on any Erev Yomtev because of the danger associated with letting blood on Erev Shuas. Because of a special wind that blows that day that would have killed everyone had the Yid not accepted the Torah, so that wind is dangerous for after letting blood. Mo says after letting blood you can drink immediately, but eating should be done only after you walk the time it takes to walk a half a mil. Mishnah says the Kishon HaTaber. Isa says you're allowed to tie the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Rabbi says you're even allowed to cut it. You're allowed to cover or bury the shilya to bring warmth to the baby. Rashi Leel said princesses bury their shilya in bowls of oil. Wealthy people do so in combed wool, and poor people do so in soft materials. Nachman, the name of Rabbi Baravu, the name of Rav, passed like Rabbi Yosi, and said in the case of twins, even the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yosi, you're allowed to cut the cords because if not, they may get tangled and pull each other and be very dangerous for the babies. Nachman and Rabbi Baravu and Rav said, we learn from the Psukim what type of malach you're allowed to do for a woman in labor on Shabbos. You can deliver the child, cut the cord, wash the baby, place salt on the baby's skin, and swaddle the baby on Shabbos. Had malach perek mefanen.